Amen. Thank you for sharing that challenge with us this morning. I think of when you talked about the young girl over in Peace House who was born again and yet had a lot of issues, a lot of garbage in the back, you know, to work through. We understand that. I had to think when Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave, you know, he told the people to take the grave clothes off. Jesus called him out, but he told the people to take the clothes off. And I just thought of that as Sim was sharing, you know, this young girl, she couldn't help her past, whatever was there, unfortunate, and yet Jesus called her by name, and she responded to that. But you know, he sets people in place to help her unravel some of the bondages that were wrapped up in. Praise God. He has put us here to help people get free. I know he makes us free. And yet, what does that look like? Are you free this morning? I had to think of that song we were singing. I'm free. My chains are gone, right? Are you free? I was talking with someone here just recently. I'm not quite sure who it was. And that doesn't matter so much, but it really spoke to me. If you drive into a parking lot, whatever it might be, Walmart or some kind of grocery store, we were talking about the law, how it is good, right? If it's used lawfully. You drive into the parking lot of a store or something, you don't even think nothing of it, but you park in the parking spots. So is that bondage or freedom? I mean, you could argue, well, duh, everybody does it. I'm free to do it, right? But you could be in bondage, too, if you would look at it the right way. It's like, okay, there's nobody has to tell me to park this way. What does it matter how I park? Well, it maybe wouldn't. You could maybe use the other end of the parking lot and go the other way, but there would be issues. So this morning, if you think of Jesus, He's set you free. Well, then why do I have to do this? Well, you don't. You don't have to do anything. He made you free. Just serve him because you're free. Give him all you got. True freedom. You don't even think about it that you're in bondage to it. Well, you aren't actually. But you don't even think about it. If God gives you a word, and I think back to the first love that I had for Christ, and I'm challenging myself with this, is I didn't even think about it when someone would come against me with, you know, a curse or whatever it might have been. It just didn't affect me. I was free to serve Christ. Do we know what it's like to be free? Free indeed. Praise the Lord. That's not my message this morning, but just thank God this morning for his word. Again, just looking back at being in Colorado a week and a half, just being challenged with allowing the word of God to accomplish its purpose. The word of God, I have sent the word of God. It will perform. It's going to. Just as that rain comes down and waters the earth, the snow, how it brings fruit. To be content, to be satisfied with the word of God and allow that to, just allow that to speak here this morning. That's my desire this morning as we look at the word of God. God, look at the word long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. And what does long-suffering look like? I'm not sure that I know, can explain, but we're just going to look at the Word of God and allow it to minister to us this morning. The word long-suffering, and again, we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We're not looking at something that's a law that you must do, that's something that, you know, you somehow, okay, now I'm going to be long-suffering today. Or I mean, there's a choice, I realize that. There's a choice that we make day to day of what takes place, and I'm talking about being committed to Christ, being committed to the Spirit of God and allowing it to flow out of us. And it becomes a fruit of the Spirit. Two very similar words are patience, forbearing. They kind of are together. We're talking about the fruit, the latter, and the early and the latter rain. James 5:7, it says, Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. Patience is enduring in a trial. It talks about the patience of Job. And Job was enduring. He had patience. As he endured through a trial, Job had patience. Take, my brethren, verse 10 there, it says, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. That word, their patience, is actually long-suffering. Like the prophets were long-suffering. Some of them for their life. They suffered and suffered, but they continued. They had a long suffering, and yet they would continue on preaching and prophesying to the people. It didn't matter who would come against them, but they suffered affliction and of patience. Take heed. Take, my brethren, the prophets. In other words, look at this example. These men were long suffering. They suffered long. Maybe some of them over half their life. But Job was patient. There's a difference, and yet there's a very close connection between patience and long-suffering. A lot of versions actually just use patience instead of long-suffering, and yet I feel like there is a difference in the two, and God calls us to long-suffering to one another. And that examples of long-suffering, I guess I was just thinking, just recently I was doing some custom manure hauling for someone, and I pulled into the farm where a young girl was shot at the nickel mine school. And you know, this is almost 20 years later, and she's still alive, but somebody has to take care of her. I guess I just thought about that. Wouldn't that take long suffering for them parents and family or whatever to just endure with this day after day, knowing? Another part of long-suffering is knowing it was caused by other people. Like when you have affliction or you're enduring through a trial that is caused by other people, it's long-suffering. So I just thought about that. Wouldn't that take long-suffering? And just a day-by-day forgiveness and continue on. God, have mercy. And there may be other ways that we have that we experience or God calls us to be long-suffering. Long-suffering is having or showing patience in spite of troubles, especially those caused by other people. And I guess the difference between patience too was the early and the latter rain, there's just a season in your life where you need patience, but long-suffering may be and is more to endure long, continue on. In the Strong's, it's longanimity, that is forbearance. In other words, to endure long under offenses. When you're offended, do we have long suffering? Do we continue in that? I'm going to just look at a few scriptures this morning. Ephesians 4, look at the first four verses here. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm going to end there. But to think of, why would it take long-suffering in the body of Christ? Why does he need long-suffering? Why do we need to forbear? Aren't we born again? Doesn't Christ live you? Aren't you walking in the Spirit? Then why does it take long-suffering? Why would we need to forbear one another in love? And I believe when there is a true love, when you have true love, that makes it possible to long-suffer. Or really, when there's a true love, it kind of takes care of my issues, right? Of what I have against other people and what I just don't like the way they do that, or the way he does this or she does that or whatever, right? And it's irritating, or there's troubled. You bear long, you suffer long, you continue on, endeavoring to keep the unity. In other words, in German it says sein fleißig. In other words, don't let it linger. Be intentional. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit of God within, the bond of peace. Doesn't God call us to have one mind and to be one accord? Then why would there need to be long-suffering? Why does he encourage us to be long-suffering if we have the same mind, if we are in one accord? God knows that there's going to be things that come up in between us, between husband and wife, between parents and children, brothers in the church, that is going to be what you would cause trouble or an irritation to my flesh, to the flesh. And he calls us to be long-suffering. What if I make a wrong decision and it causes you trouble? What if my decision causes you trouble? Or what if a decision you make causes me trouble or irritates me? How long do I put up with you? Jesus said in Matthew 17:17, he came down off the mountain, he was up in the mountain with a few of the disciples. He comes down, there's this mad boy or demon-possessed boy, and the disciples were trying to cast it out. And he's like, how long shall I suffer to be with you? He said, you faithless and perverse nation, generation or nation. He's like, how long shall I suffer long? Suffer you. It's like, if I would give up now, you know, it would all be in vain. But he just suffered long. He continued on. And he's like, bring the boy here. And he took care of it. He had long suffering when he was here with us. God suffered long. And in Colossians 1, verse 11, it adds even yet another element of this. I'm going to read verse 9, 10, 11, actually through 14. From 9 through 14, it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, if we would receive that, if that prayer would be totally fulfilled in my life, why would we even need verse 11? But it says, strengthen with all might, according to his power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What a prayer. And yet in the middle of that is long-suffering with joyfulness. With joy. Suffering long. With a joy in our hearts. Not allowing that patience and long-suffering. Here there's both. Not allowing that to bring separation or bring a disunity or discord. But to with all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, allowing the word. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on, therefore, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Is forgiveness necessary? Why would there be need to be forgiveness if we're Christians or if we're walking in the Spirit? Why would there need to be forgiveness? Why would I have a need for long-suffering or meekness? And yet God knows that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing, and out of that at times we do things. And yet we must recognize that that's exactly what it was. It was working out of the flesh. And we need to long suffer. And if need be, share with one another. Encourage one another. 1 Timothy 1, 15 to 17. This here just really spoke to me too. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him, to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 13 says, who was a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. God showed long-suffering to Paul here. Paul understood long-suffering because of what he was in and because of the long-suffering that God imparted to him. And he realized that the long-suffering that God imparted to him was to be an example and a prime example of the great patience or long-suffering with even the worst sinners. And we can use that when we meet people, when we see people, and when we meet people who are in sin and who we think are beyond help, maybe, that this is an example. That if, with even the worst sinners, then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. When we see the example here of God having long suffering with Paul, he endured long with him. And I don't know always where the difference is. He did it ignorantly and in disbelief, it says, or in unbelief. Is there a place? I believe we need to be careful when we intentionally, having experienced God's power and grace in our lives, when we intentionally choose to harden our hearts, I believe is a very dangerous place to be. When we intentionally choose to walk away from God. You know, God said, you can speak a word against the Son of Man. That doesn't affect you or offend you, or even against God. But if you speak against the Holy Spirit, then he says there's no forgiveness. And I'm not just saying this is a once and done. I think if you continue to resist the Holy Spirit, God gave the Spirit in this time to speak to us individually, specifically in different situations. As Sim was sharing there, he specifically gave a word to Elijah, go there and I'll take care of you. And I believe when we begin to resist the Holy Spirit, we can shake our fists at God and he'll have long suffering with us. And we can shake our fists and even curse the Son of Man, whatever. And yet, when we resist and speak against the Holy Spirit, because that is the way God speaks to us in this time. And he knows that when we resist that spirit, our only connection to God, when we resist that and we continuously push against what he wants to do in our hearts, in our lives, then I believe it says there's no forgiveness. But when you, if you're here and you have a hunger and you have a thirst for God, please believe that the Spirit of God still desires to bring forgiveness. I'm talking about hardening your heart and walking away from God. But as long as there's life, I believe God said there's nothing impossible with me. And yet, if we resist him on and on, the Holy Spirit is here to teach us and to guide us into all truths, as he did Elijah. One was the written word, but then the other one was just go here. This is where I want you. And then he said, go here. And then go talk to Ahab. And he just followed through with that. We're going to look at Numbers 14. There's a Numbers 14. Verse 11 to 30. Numbers 14, verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? We heard a little bit this morning just about the coming out of Egypt and the work and the signs and the wonders that they saw, and God opening the earth and swallowing those rebellious people in their tents and their households. I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from them, from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. In other words, the nations knew this stuff is going on. The nations knew this. And Moses is just like, the people hear this and see this, and now if thou shalt kill all this people, verse 15, as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. In other words, don't quit being long-suffering to this people. Because, verse 20, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Is it important that we do not murmur and complain against what God is doing. God is long-suffering, and yet here, the reality of their sin, there was consequences. And he actually kept them from being able to enter into the land of Canaan. And as Sim was reading that this morning, I just recognized in the land of Egypt, I believe they had to water everything to get what they did. But here, in the land of Canaan, God was going to do it all. All they had to do was reap it. Like, that is a great parallel to being filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit of God. In our old life, if we didn't work, we didn't get nothing. But when we come into Christ and walk in the power of the Spirit and we enter into that land, that promise, He does it all. But we have to yield to that. And I had to think how many thousands of people, or it was millions, a couple million people. I don't know how many were older than 20. But I think they all had to die in the wilderness. God just left them wander and wander until they all died. That would have had to be over 70 or 80 deaths a day to get rid of that many people in 39 years. I'm just like, wow, that was not the plan God had for them. And yet, here they were, wandering and moping around in the wilderness for 39 more years. May we enter into the long-suffering of God. And I believe that is what He wants out of us, is just that we would be able to recognize and grasp His heart and to be long-suffering with each other. 2 Timothy 2:4. A few more scriptures here. No, 4:2. Sorry. 2 Timothy 4:2. Here it says, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." But I believe as we preach, as we teach, as we go preaching the word, I don't believe he's just thinking here this morning, but as we go, as we preach, be instant. But it says reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And those are strong words. To reprove is to convict and to convince someone that he's wrong. People today, if you would believe, if you walk in this, would think you just believe what you want to believe and I'll believe what I want to believe. Let the rest go, right? We're all one. Why would he put this here? Reprove, in other words, convict and convince that someone is in the wrong. That's reproving. Rebuking is to tax upon or admonish and forbid. But the word exhort is encourage. We need not forget that as well. But let's don't forget the first two either. But it must be done with all longsuffering. And I guess that's what just spoke to me. I can be quick to exhort. Reprove or rebuke. Especially, I think, in our home. I'll be quick to do that. But it must be done with long-suffering. And long-suffering isn't just like maybe a day or two or five or a month. But I think long-suffering, it's a long time. It takes time sometimes. But let's don't forget to encourage one another. But it says with all long suffering and doctrine or teaching, whatever you're teaching, be long suffering. 1 Peter 3:20. A couple of scriptures here in Peter yet. 1 Peter 3:20. says, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. And I was trying to think what God is trying to say. Why was that so long-suffering? I mean, he destroyed them all. But I thought, you know, I believe when God came to Noah and told him that this people is just wicked, they've all just went by the wayside. And yet he asked Noah to build an ark. And I guess that was what spoke to me. God, if God had to first of all prepare a place to give the people a place of refuge or rescue them. So it took him 120 years to build that ark. And all that time, God's just like being long-suffering. Maybe some of them will come around. Maybe, you know. And I know God knows everything. And yet he was giving them this opportunity. So he for 120 years, it took, or whatever it is, to build the ark so that there's at least a place, if someone would repent, to go to. Is that what it's saying? He endured. He long-suffered with them in the days as he waited. God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. He just waited until the ark was ready, and then the invitation was, if you want to be saved, come. He had a place prepared for them. But there was a time when his long suffering came to an end and he closed the door. And that was it. Anyone outside, anything with breath, had to die. But God saved Noah and his wife, and three sons, and their wives. You know, Jesus today is that ark. He is that place of refuge for us. And as long as there's still breath here, as long as life is here, there's still an opportunity for us to come into that ark. Verse 9 and 15 here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. 1 Peter 3, 9 and 15. Oh, no, this is now 2 Peter, sorry. But this goes very well together, because it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, he prepared a place, but now it is our choice to receive that. But he's not slack. In other words, they were like, it ain't never gonna rain. They just laughed him at Noah. What a big boat. It ain't never gonna rain. But you know, the time came when God shut the door, and even then I think it went 7 days. But it says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some people think. But he's long-suffering. The reason he didn't come back yet is because he's long-suffering. He's patient with us. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the repentance. All should come to repentance. Have you repented this morning and come to Jesus? He's long-suffering. He wants you to come. Receive of him. Accept his salvation, his work, his land of promise. There will be battles in the land of promise. There's enemies in the land of promise. But it's nothing but victory when we do it his way. And he said he will drive them out. May we come to Jesus. Maybe just a few ways how this could look practical to us. What are practical ways to be long-suffering? I guess the first thought was, we can't even be long-suffering when there's not love. Corinthians talks about love suffers long. When there's a love in our heart, one toward another, it enables us to suffer long. When there's love, our marriage, we will struggle to be long-suffering if we don't have love. Paul said it's, if you get married, you're going to have trouble, right? We learned that a couple weeks ago. There's going to be frustration. We're going to pick at each other. There's going to be trouble. But that's not to bring anything to an end. But there's long suffering. The fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. Being able to forbear or be able to have patience with that. Be able to work through those things. Relationships with our children. We struggle to be long suffering. We struggle to be long suffering if it's always someone else's fault. Well, it was his fault or it was her fault. And then there's no long suffering in that. There's no ability to be long suffering in that. And again, just as I shared in the beginning, it's a fruit of the Spirit. There's a fruit tree on either side of the street, I think it is. Should look in Revelations. There's a fruit tree. Let me look at that. On either side of the river. No, it says, Revelations 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life. I was thinking about how can the fruit of the Spirit be so many different fruits? Because it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. But here it says it looks like three trees, one in the midst of the street and one on either side of the river. Was there the tree of life, and it bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. It bore 12 manner of fruit. And I was like, yeah, okay. That's possible. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering.